This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Ohioans were expected to head to the polls today to vote in the Democratic presidential primary, along with primaries and local races. Instead, Governor Mike DeWine and Secretary of State Frank LaRose requested a delay amid health concerns related to the coronavirus, COVID-19. The issue went to court, and a Franklin County judge determined the election would proceed. The state Supreme Court later blocked the challenge to that decision, but then the state's health department got involved and ordered the election to be postponed because of a health emergency, all due to concerns over the coronavirus. It was a wild series of hours taking place in the news cycle, and here to talk about how it all went down is League of Women Voters Ohio Executive Director Jen Miller. She's on the phone with us. Jen, thank you so much for taking some time.
Thanks for having me.
I'm looking at some headlines out of Illinois, which is also voting today, and it looks like turnout is pretty low. There are concerns about sanitizer. Some of the polls are opening late. Is this something that, in spite of the chaos surrounding the decision, that Ohio may have avoided?
Absolutely. I first want to just thank all of the boards of elections and the poll workers and all the volunteers who were working around the clock for the last week to try to figure out how we could have an in-person election today. And many were going to, put their own health at risk to serve democracy. So I want to thank everyone for that. But bottom line, as of yesterday, not only were we getting new guidance that we couldn't have gatherings of more than 10 people, but we also had counties that didn't have hand sanitizer at all. We had polling locations across the state that didn't have enough supplies to wipe down the voting machines between every voter. And so there was really no legitimate way that the state could have an election that functioned. And then you add to that that poll workers, really, so many of our poll workers, more than a quarter of them, depending on the county, it can be different, but so many are over the age of 60 and therefore at risk, or they're younger, but they have other conditions. I heard from a poll worker yesterday who has lupus, another who has MS, others who have severe asthma, all trying to decide how they balance their health with their, annual commitment to be poll workers. So, yes, what we're seeing out of Illinois would have probably happened in Ohio. To be clear, the polls in Illinois should have opened at 6 a.m., and some of them did not open until a half an hour ago because they didn't have enough poll workers to function. So we really have two questions here in terms of what it would have looked like today. One is just the sheer practical fact that we couldn't have functioned potentially without in face of poll worker shortages. And then the second are the health concerns that we did not have the supplies needed to really keep Ohioans safe.
Can you tell us a little bit about the decision process, how close you were to it? And I mean, this had to be a challenge for everyone involved.
Right. I mean, it was a roller coaster, and we are not wild about the decision-making process. I don't know anyone who is. I can say this. I was directly talking to the Secretary of State and Ohio Department of Health officials, the election officials, many others, up until the very last minute. What I'll say is this. A week ago, we had three cases. A week ago, there was a belief that public gatherings were still okay, right? So as every day we got new advice, new guidance, the concerns grew. And at the same time, we have a Ohio law that does not really contemplate how to run an election during a global pandemic. And so bottom line, there wasn't a way, in my opinion, to do this well. Or quickly or smoothly. We're not wild about it. We think it's very hard on poll workers and voters and boards of elections alike. But ultimately, I'm thankful that people aren't choosing today between their health and voting.
We did just hear President Trump here on our air talking about Governor DeWine's decision to delay the election, and he said that he supports that decision. I want to ask you a little bit about local preparations and people's access to hand sanitizer. I understand that that was viewed by you as a concern as people were thinking they were headed to the polls today.
Yeah, absolutely. As of yesterday, boards of elections still could not purchase hand sanitizer. They started trying to get the sanitation supplies that they needed with the directive last week that the secretary issued. And even by then, run on supplies was quite severe. And the boards of elections were trying all through the weekend to get alcohol swabs and enough plastic gloves and hand sanitizer. I talked to a voting location manager yesterday in the Columbus area who mentioned that she had one box of medium-sized gloves that weren't stretchy. So that's going to fit someone with a smaller hand, but a lot of the poll workers who might have needed gloves today in that location wouldn't have been able to have them. I talked to another poll worker who was hoping that bottles of hand sanitizer would be delivered today by the time the polls opened, but they weren't sure. There were entire counties that were short of supplies. So I think it's easy to judge and say that things could have been done differently or maybe there should have been some things done differently, but bottom line, it was responsible to cancel the in-person election today. And now it is the work of all of us to hold the government accountable to changes so that we can be more nimble in the future.
If you're listening, we want to hear from you as well. Did you wake up and go to the polls this morning? Did you think you were working the polls this morning? Did you expect to cast a ballot today? Or if you want to just offer your perspective on how all this played out, join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets there and try to get some of those into the show as well. We're talking with Jen Miller. She is the executive director of the League of Women Voters Ohio. Jen, For those of us who don't vote in Ohio, or for people who might have been on their way to vote for the first time in Ohio, for people who vote but not in Ohio, talk about, as it relates to hand sanitizer and cleanliness, the different types of surfaces that people would engage with in this situation, in addition to just being in close proximity to each other when we're being told to kind of keep a distance.
Right. Okay, so first off, think about the poll workers who are taking IDs all day long. So if they don't have gloves that fit their hands and they don't have hand sanitizer, they're literally taking germy IDs for 13 hours of a day, one after the other after the other. Then think about someone has to sign the electronic poll book or maybe a paper poll book. They're then going to go to a machine that many other people have used and touched to vote. Or if they vote provisionally, they're going to use a paper ballot, but they're going to use pens that other people, you know, writing utensils that other people have used. So all the way down the line, it's easy to transmit germs. And while in a regular election cycle, we're always worried about germs, we're not talking about something so contagious as COVID-19. But additionally, I think you raise another super good point, Mike. When you are short on poll workers, you are going to have long lines. Easily, we could have, at any given moment in time, had more than 100 people in line. And, you know, and a lot of times they're very tight spaces. You know, sometimes it's like small libraries or, you know, you have to go down a hallway that's kind of small. And then people can be winding around, and you're not just, 6 inches or a foot close to the person in front of you and behind you, but maybe if the lines are winding, you're actually in contact with dozens, if not hundreds of people, if we have long lines. So there's a lot of different concerns there when it comes to health and safety that I just don't think we could have avoided today.
As the election has now been postponed to June, What does it look like, do you think, moving forward? Because we're hearing forecast about coronavirus, COVID-19, that this thing is going to linger for a good part of this year. And so will there be a conversation at some point about voting by mail?
Well, let me say this. My opinion is that Ohio hopefully will not have as severe of an outbreak because we really limited transmission today. I'm not a health professional, but bottom line, I in my heart believed that we would see more cases if the election went on today. And so, again, not wild about the process, but I think we should feel good that our leaders are trying to limit COVID-19, which hopefully will shorten the epidemic. But you're right. What does this look like today? First off, if you have an absentee ballot that you've already filled out, you can drive that to the Board of Elections today. And you should, if you have the ability. If you haven't requested an absentee ballot, get on ohiosos.gov. So that's O-H-I-O, Secretary of State would be SOS.gov. Get on the website, request your absentee ballot. And I'm saying that because as we get more information, this may continue to change. And the safest way to vote will continue to be by mail. I will just say there's likely to be more lawsuits. There's likely to be more confusion today. And I just want to assure voters that groups like the League of Women Voters and others are working diligently to make sure that everyone will have their chance to vote. So try not to get stressed out when you see more headlines. They're going to come, but we will make sure that you can cast your ballot, even if it's only by mail and we end up not being able to have an in-person election on June 2nd.
If they do transition to voting by mail based on the coronavirus situation, as it may be in June, do they already count the votes that have been cast early, or would this be a do-over?
No, it would not be a do-over. If you have already cast your vote, that will be held and that will be counted. What we will not get is reporting as to where the vote, you know, what the vote tallies are today. And that's appropriate, right?
Will they be counted? Will the ballots that are in now be counted already?
They may be. I think so. This is getting a little unclear just because we do have some various directives that we need to figure out. They will not be reported. They may be counted, but they will not be reported. They will. And the reason is because that could really change the trajectory of an election. Whereas right now, if people don't know what it looks like, if campaigns don't know what it looks like, it doesn't necessarily change it in the same way.
So that's to suggest if you're supporting a candidate who may be behind in the early voting, which would discourage other voters from coming out.
Right. Or if you're supporting a candidate or an issue that seems like it's sure to win, mm-hmm. and then you decide not to vote. Right. So we shouldn't see any results out there at all, even preliminarily. But anyone who has cast their vote, that should count. Now, if you've sent in your absentee ballot, you should make sure that the board received it and that it counted. Sometimes we can make mistakes on paper forms. So you have the ability to contact your Board of Election to check in on your mail-in ballot.
It's a Cincinnati edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue now with our discussion on the abrupt postponement of the Ohio primary election. We are joined on the phone by League of Women Voters Ohio Executive Director Jen Miller. She's on the phone. Jen, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Jen, I'm hoping that for our listeners' sake and mine, really, that you could maybe share some behind-the-scenes information on how all of this played out, talk about the governor's decision, and then all the movements that must have followed that.
Right. So this is, it's been a roller coaster for the average Ohioan. It's been even more of a roller coaster for poll workers and boards of elections and folks like me that live and breathe democracy work. So there's been a lot of movement. So number one, let's keep in mind that we only had a few confirmed cases a week ago. And in part, that's because we just hadn't been didn't have the tests available. But keep that in mind. So this whole idea that we should have done this a week ago with three or so confirmed cases, that's hard to argue. Then keep in mind that there was this thought by everyone that we could continue to do this safely, but we were going to move all these polling locations. So all of a sudden we're moving 150 polling locations from across the state because they are in senior living facilities or other facilities that were deemed to be too risky for those residents or stakeholders to have the elections there. So then our boards of elections are scrambling there. Then you add to that, on Friday, when I went to early vote, I spoke to someone in my county elections system, and they were saying for every poll worker that they had signing up, they were losing two. And that was the case across the state. So as of close of business on Friday at 5, we still didn't know how many cases we had. We still thought that, Amy Acton and others still thought elections were not dangerous necessarily. But we were also scrambling still to get poll workers, scrambling to get supplies. Then we get through the weekend where everyone's still working. And on Monday, we come to find this is when my phone starts ringing off the hook. And I'm hearing from polling location managers across the state saying, I don't have gloves. One polling location manager told me she had 20 alcohol swabs for the entire day to wipe down 8 machines. That's not even wiping down a machine once an hour, let alone between voters. All day yesterday, just the news kept coming that, one, it was far more contagious than they thought, that the community spread in Ohio was greater than we thought, that we needed to reduce crowds and really very much quarantine all of ourselves as much as possible, and at the same time that we didn't have, functionally, we could not make the system work. So, interestingly enough, the Secretary of State and the governor say that they are not going to move forward. They suggest there's going to be a lawsuit to take care of this. I think everyone expected, including myself, that the lawsuit, that the judge would side with safety and postpone this election. CNN and some other news stations actually reported wrong.
Well, it looked like there was a directive that came out, right? There was something that those organizations received.
It was not signed. So there was wrong reporting. They saw a finding from the court, but it wasn't signed. And so it got very confused. And so then boards of elections, poll workers, voters are getting wrong information from the court that it had been canceled. And then 15 minutes later, or not even, the judge actually rules the opposite direction. So now more than ever, at that moment, around 7:30 last night, we're in a bigger problem than we've been before, because now the confusion is profound, right? Boards of elections believed the news. They started telling poll workers not to show up. They stopped moving machines. It's very hard when you call something off to, even if it's only a few minutes later, to reverse ship on that or reverse direction on that. So I can't describe to everyone how impossible this entire situation has been. I understand this is going to shake people's trust in government and democracy. And so I'm going to say something cheesy, but it's totally true. I personally love Election Day more than Christmas, more than my birthday, more than Mother's Day. Like, I love Election Day. And if we could have had one safely today and functionally today, I would be fighting for it. But the bottom line is the process, terrible, the outcome, correct.
Well, today was going to be Christmas for a lot of people, for fans of democracy and the democratic actions of voting. And also, we're going to have those first four NCAA tournament games in Dayton, and that's all been canceled as we all adjust to this new reality. I want to take a call right now. We have Tricia on the line. Hi, Tricia. What's your question or comment?
Hi. Well, first of all, I want to thank Jen for advocating for all voters in our state. And I have a question about ballots. So if we mail in ballots, how do we secure equity? So our libraries are closed for people of low income to go and print and get access to those ballots. So I'm a little worried about the equity piece in mail-in ballots.
Tricia, thank you so much for your call. We'll hang up and we'll let Jen take a chance at answering that question. Jen, are questions about equity?
I love questions about equity because our democracy is only as strong as the ability of all voters to participate. So what I'll say is this. It is our hope that the Secretary of State will mail out application requests to anyone who has not voted yet. So that would be number one. And so people should look for those requests in the mail. Number two, if anyone is having problems getting a ballot, they can call, you know, their county Board of Election or the Secretary of State or the League office, and we will assist you with that. Number three, if someone needs help with their postage, there are, you know, churches often help with that. The League helps with that. And then finally, we are hoping that there will be a ample ability to drop these off so that you don't need the postage. So certainly anytime we have a change in a system, we can think about, you know, maybe low-income individuals or seniors or students really being affected. And in that way, I actually think this is more democratic because by the time we found out that we had COVID-19 cases, there are people in the state who would not have been able to access the absentee mail-in ballot system simply because of how long mail takes. So it's for some places, it takes 3 to 4 days just to get a piece of mail across the county line, across the county. So inside a county, right, where you're maybe an hour away from the county seat and you're trying to get it to your Board of Election, 3 to 4 days just to request the ballot, 3 to 4 days for that ballot to come back to you, 3 to 4 days for you to mail that back. And I also yesterday heard from dozens and dozens of voters who had requested their absentee ballots on time, but had not received them in time to actually vote. So a lot of different considerations there, but we do expect the Secretary to mail out requests to everyone who hasn't voted yet. We will be asking for prepaid postage to have them sent back. But there are a lot of other options for getting those mailed, and we will continue to work with our friends in, you know, at the NAACP, at the churches, at ACLU, at Girl Scouts, all the places that we can to serve those who don't have the money for that postage.
Jen Miller is the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Ohio. Jen, thank you so much. As this progresses and as we get closer to whatever the next election day might be, we'll have you back on to help explain whatever the process might look like. Jen, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Up next, we'll be joined by a local doctor to discuss the local response to coronavirus COVID-19. We'll also have an opportunity to take questions from you. Our number is 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.